Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. This evening after the half hour, we will be taking callers. Call in with your question. Call in with your answer. Call in for confirmation. Our number is 646-716-9663. Tonight, my topic is the magic and mystery of elemental alchemy. I'm very pleased, and it warms my heart to have a dear friend of mine named Mooni Schwartzy on tonight. Welcome.
Thank you, Star. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm very grateful to be here with you tonight.
I'm so happy to have you. Now, let's get down to the spiritual meat and potatoes, the magic and mystery of elemental alchemy. Talk to me about that.
Well, when one thinks of alchemy, what one might imagine in one's inner vision and one's inner eye is thinking back to medieval times of people attempting to transform lead and other base metals into gold, heating them in a crucible, someone perhaps locked away in a castle, slaving away over a hot fire. Maybe there's a taskmaster or a king, someone there, and the alchemist is working under great duress or stress, attempting to appease the king and transmute these seemingly worthless base metals into gold. I think there are many perceptions and things that we have in our culture of related to alchemy in that respect. But the greatest alchemy happens at an internal level. It's not something that's physical. It's something that happens internally and inside of us. And the crucible that we have is actually our life. The forces that naturally occur as we move through our evolution, the forces of life that and the forces of this physical dimension that we'll talk about in a minute that are unique to this plane that propel our evolution forward. And when I've been greatly influenced by our beloved friend Jaylene Clark at Gather Insight, who we invite you all to check out. Jaylene is an amazing being. And Jaylene has quite an affinity for words and has influenced me greatly in taking an interest and taking a look at the root of various words. And when we look at the word elemental and look it up and look in the Oxford Dictionary and other places, elemental, one of the meanings is the nature of an ultimate constituent, simple, uncompounded. And when I look at this this definition, what I'm reminded of is that some of the greatest spiritual truths, actually all of the greatest spiritual truths, are very simple. We as human beings have a tendency to make and sometimes to want to make spiritual truth very complex. But in actuality, the greatest spiritual truths are really very simple and rudimentary. And so looking at the elements and looking at elemental alchemy, going back to the root constituents and building blocks of nature and how those are useful to assist us in growing on our spiritual journey of taking our own inner lead, so to speak, and transmuting that that inner lead into gold. And looking at the symbolism in the Eastern tradition, gold is considered a symbol for the ultimate level of consciousness, a symbol for unification with the divine, a symbol for Christ consciousness, if you will, or Buddha consciousness, Shiva consciousness. And when we go back to the you know, to the image of that person slaving away in the castle tower. That person slaving away is actually us, and the taskmaster are the circumstances of life that are causing us to seek that gold, a better way of life, a better way of experiencing, a more expanded way of being, a new way of seeing all of life. And to me, it's really interesting because those of us who have chosen to come here, because I believe, and it's my experience, that we actually choose to come here to the physical plane with a handful of life's lessons to work on, that there are unique forces here on the physical plane that make our evolution possible, that are not present on the planes of light. And one of those primary differences between the physical plane and the other planes is the force of resistance. We experience resistance here, and it's actually the resistance that causes us to grow. You know, we need the resistance in life to build spiritual muscle, and, you know, I have heard the example of going to the gym. You know, if we went to the gym and we didn't have any weights there, or the weights were filled with air, it would be a very different experience than going and having the weights filled with heavy metal. You know, we build muscle because of the resistance that is there and the weights. And the same is true of the mental and emotional resistance that we face here on the physical plane and that are part of life. And our journey is to transcend and to transmute that lead into gold, to rise above those levels of consciousness, to rise above the denseness of the earthly plane, and to experience our union on the planes of light, and then share that union here with all creatures great and small. So getting into the meat of what we're talking about, that's where we're going, and I'm going to share some techniques tonight for stepping into the practice of elemental alchemy, some practices from the yogic tradition that will assist our listeners in expanding their inner light, embodying more of their own inner light that's already there, and transmuting some of these base metals that they may be facing that are part of our physical plane, our physical life circumstances.
Good. That should be good. When I think of resistance, I'm thinking about right now Thanksgiving and talking to so many people who are resisting their family. Yeah, and it's like, this is the family God puts you in to learn the most lessons. And you're like, I'm not talking to my brother. I'm not talking to my mother. And I'm hearing you talk about alchemy and the resistance that we have to work out with, and it's just important to do it in our lineage as it is in the exercises you're going to give us. So tell us some more.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's wonderful what you say about the trip home to for Thanksgiving, and coming up we have Hanukkah and Christmas also. It is so interesting because the trip home to our family is one of the things that will test our self-mastery. You know, it's interesting because our family, at least in this particular incarnation on the physical plane, is where a lot of those limiting patterns are created or activated or re-energized. And so it's really an opportunity, first of all, to test our mastery when we go back home. You know, to see if those buttons that used to get pushed still get pushed when we get back there. It's an opportunity to see how far that we've come. It's also an opportunity for us to bring healing back to our family, because one of the things that my teacher Samyama often talks about is transcending our roots and transcending our genealogy, and bringing those patterns of healing back into our home. Because when we're doing healing, we're not just doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for our entire lineage, and we're doing it for all of humanity. So, you know, for example, when we transcend patterns of limited thinking, or we transcend patterns of abuse, or we transcend patterns of alcoholism or drug addiction, whatever our particular karmas are, when we deal with those, when we address them, when we transmute them into light, and then we come back into our family where those patterns were created, we act as a beacon of light for others to follow. Others are inspired by our light when we shine our light in the world. So when we go back to the family, we go back and the tarot card that we can meditate on is the card of the hermit, card number 9. And the hermit is the one who holds the light for humanity to follow, the one who leaves a trail of blazing light for humanity to follow. And if you look at the hermit, the hermit is holding a lamp, and that lamp is lighting the way. And so when we transcend a pattern, we carry that pattern of healing within our own consciousness. And when we go back into our family, even if we're not consciously doing so, at a subconscious level, our family begins to imbibe and to absorb that pattern of healing that we've created within our own consciousness. So this is a wonderful opportunity, number one, for everybody to test their mastery and going back home and having this wonderful family visit. And then number two, to bring healing there back to the family to assist one's family in transcending those roots and genealogy and healing family patterns.
Good, I agree. Now, let's start with some of those wonderful exercises you were going to give us tonight.
Ah, fantastic. Well, one of the main ways that the ancient yogis in India have used to transform the mental and the emotional resistance and all of the issues that we encounter in life is by working with the elements in combination with the breath. And it's really interesting. There's a great Sufi teacher, and I am avid student of Sufism, by the name of Hazrat Inayat Khan. And many years ago, he talked about that there is one holy book, and that holy book is the sacred manuscript of nature. And what he says, this is a quote from him: "To the eye of the seer, with capital S, every leaf of the tree is a page of the holy book that contains divine revelation, and he or she is inspired in every moment of life by constantly reading and understanding the holy manuscript of nature." So if we want to understand something about ourselves, all we have to do is look at the world around us and to take a walk in the forest. So, for example, if we examine the energies of the element earth, what we'll notice is that our Mother Earth is a great recycler. If you simply walk out into the woods, into the forest, you'll notice that Mother Earth, she takes everything that's dead and lifeless, and she composts it. She causes it to decompose as it falls to the forest floor, and it becomes recycled into life-giving soil. And so with the base energies of life, we have the ability to allow those energies to sink into the soil of consciousness and to be transmuted by the energies of Earth and to be recycled. Similarly, if we observe water, we'll notice that water always finds the path of least resistance. And so when we come up against obstacles in life, rather than attempting to move a boulder, water flows around it, and we can do the same thing. We can find that path of least resistance to flow around it. And if we observe water, even over time, its force is so powerful that it begins to smooth and actually polish the surfaces of boulders and stones that it runs over. And after many, many, many years, it even wears down. It can cut a channel even through the tallest mountains. And by tapping into the energies of water, we can create those channels of flow within our own life. When we look at fire, fire is an amazing purifier and cleanser. And if we take a look at fire and the element fire in nature, it burns and it clears the way. If we have a fire in a forest that naturally occurs, a fire from lightning or in the brush, it clears away all of the underbrush to make room for new life and to allow new energies to bloom and to blossom and to grow. And then the air, when we observe the air brings in fresh energy, it brings in lightness, our ability to rise above the obstacles of life. And if we can just imagine the aliveness that we feel in a beautiful spring breeze and the fragrances that come in on the spring air. So simply taking a walk into nature and beginning to connect and to notice, to practice mindfulness of these energies of the elements that are already part of our environment and tapping into them, to utilize them, to cleanse them. And there's some specific breathing exercises, and a little bit later on that I will give that are very powerful in working with the elements and cleansing our energy field using elemental energies. One of the things that I often tell my students is that if they just mastered the elements, that was it. If that's all they studied and all they mastered, is all that would be necessary to master themselves. Because the elements are like a spectrum of light that ranges from the red spectrum, which is really the most dense end of the spectrum with the element earth, all the way up to the purple end of the spectrum of light, which is ether, the most refined energies, really the formless energies, the container that holds all the other elements and that makes them possible. And so our journey in learning to connect with the elements is about learning how to navigate that entire spectrum of existence seamlessly so that we can navigate smoothly the entire spectrum of life and call upon these different energies when we need them to balance to balance something within our own consciousness, or many of our listeners out there are healers to assist others in bringing balance and cleansing and purification to their own consciousness.
And you notice that you can be sitting like earth in your car, flowing like water, and being observant of the air, and somebody cuts you off, and you are going to be a bunch of fire. You know? you can go from any element to a series of other any elements in a quarter of a second, depending on the outside stimuli. And really, it is how you handle it that makes your life work for you or not work for you. It's not what happens out there. It's how you handle it. So if they learn just the four elements, it is amazing how they can do and be and do in their life. What a great statement to make to your students. What else do you teach them about elemental alchemy?
Well, what I recommend to people who are beginning to work with the elements is that they take one at a time and spend at least a week focusing solely on that particular element and practicing awareness of it as an active meditation practice going through life moment to moment. So taking the element earth, for example, I recommend that students begin to work with that element first as our foundation. The element earth is associated with the root chakra, and that students begin to connect with that element going out and lying down on the ground, connecting with our beautiful Mother Earth. I give them breathing exercises to imagine breathing Earth actually in through all of the pores of the body. The body becomes like a sponge and actually absorbs the element. And then likewise, when they're through with the breathing practice, dissipating the element so that it leaves the physical body and restores itself to a balanced condition. And then noticing people, because that's one of the most wonderful applications of this. And if you can spot it, you know, the saying, you spot it, you got it. So taking a look at people that you encounter and noticing which elements that they are expressing in the particular moment. So, for example, with Earth, some of the balance qualities of Earth are being grounded and practical and stable. And then, of course, we also have the imbalance qualities, such as being rigid and stubborn and lethargic, being essentially a couch potato. Those are an overabundance of Earth energies that affect us in an imbalanced way. And then taking each of the elements in sequence and doing that. For example, with water, noticing the energy of water moment to moment of life, learning from the energy of water as we go through and about our day. Water, of course, being associated with the spleen chakra and our emotions. And observing people in life. You know, people that have a healthy balance and healthy expression of water are typically sensitive, and they're open-hearted, and they have a healthy, are in healthy touch with their emotions, a healthy expression of their emotions. And then we also notice people that have an imbalance and that are wishy-washy or non-committal or are overly emotional. And we begin to notice, you know, how those energies have an effect on our own being. Which ones we find nurturing for us individual, which ones perhaps that we find abrasive. We may find that we get along with some of these energies better than others, and ultimately we want to be in balance with all of them. But at first it's an exercise of observation, of noticing these energies within our own consciousness and within the environment around us. You know, taking a look at fire, for example, fire is our solar plexus, our power center, our achiever, and particularly in the corporate world. I used to work a lot in the corporate world, and we would see a lot of fire energy, and a lot of people that were out of balance in this particular energy. So the out of balance aspects are you'll see people that are restless or overbearing or that are insensitive to others' feelings. And, of course, when we're balanced in this, the energy of fire, we're energetic and we're powerful and we're passionate. You know, we have the energy to follow through and carry through with the things that we want to do in life. One of the most exquisite, the energy of air, which is associated with our heart chakra. And air is lightness and carefreeness and relaxness, all of those wonderful things. Yet when we have an imbalance in it, we can become an airhead or spacey or forgetful, not present in our physical body. So simply noticing and practicing working with those energies in our day-to-day life. And then, of course, the fifth element, the element ether, which my view is the most powerful of all of the elements and the element that all of the greatest healers on planet Earth have really worked with. In Sanskrit, the element ether is the Sanskrit word for it is akasha, and it actually refers to space. So, you know, it's said in the Vedas that before the other elements, the manifest elements, were created, the space that the elements were emanated into was created. And so if we want to connect with ether, a profound way to do that is to connect with the space around us and to notice the effect that the space has upon us. For example, our listeners there can, you know, I'm sure they're in a room somewhere, or if they're not in a room, outside someplace, and taking a look and just noticing, you know, how does the spatial orientation of the room, you know, affect one? And how does it affect all of the things in it? And if you change the space, if you change the size of it or the dimensions of it, how would it affect everything inside the room? And those of you who do healing work out there, you'll notice that one of the most powerful things a healer can do is simply to hold space, for spirit to come through and to do its wonderful and perfect work, for us to step out of the way and to simply be a conduit for that to occur. So when I have students that are beginning to connect and to practice working with the elements, these are some of the things that I have them focus on, and it's a day-to-day experience in life, a waking and walking meditation, if you will.
Well, that's a very good walking, talking, breathing, living meditation for people to have. And, you know, we can go way out here to Nokian magic, to the watchtowers, and there are four quadrants with dual combinations of the elements in it to do the most complex magic and just the simple understanding of each element as it appears in our life to do the less is more magic. So elements play a big part of any magical, spiritual a tradition, whether they're called that or not, they're there. So pay attention, people. Pay attention. So we have about 4 more minutes before we come up on the commercial break. Is there an exercise you can do in that time?
Yes, I'm going to give a basic elemental exercise. So our listeners there, what we'll do is I'm just going to ask you for a moment to close your eyes and to feel your connection with the floor, with Mother Earth, putting your feet on the floor. And as you put your feet on the floor, I'd like for you to imagine from the base of the spine, roots begin to grow. And to feel those roots begin to twist and to make their way down each of your legs. Just experiencing the roots going down, 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 down. Feeling the roots penetrate your feet and beginning to make their way now into the crystalline core of Mother Earth. Imagine those roots like corkscrews going all the way down into our beloved Mother Earth. And as the roots continue to go down, imagine your body, your physical body, actually lying against the earth, feeling the energy of the earth, which is cool and dry beneath you. And beginning to focus on your breath, watching your every inhalation and every exhalation. With each inhalation and exhalation, breathing in more and more of the element earth. On the inhale, breathing the element in, feeling it coming up through the roots now, and coming in through your pores. Imagine that your entire body is breathing like a permeable membrane as you inhale. Earth comes in, and as you exhale, the earth is dispersed into the body.
Good.
And that?
Good. And we will be coming up upon our commercial break in a few seconds. So everybody,
you're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
Good. The phone number to call in is 646-716-9663. Mini Schwartzy, tell me a little bit about yourself till we get that first call.
Yes, my beloved Star, what would you like to hear?
I would like to hear, you know, how you studied with the teacher, how you got where you are.
Exactly. Well, it's very interesting. I met my teacher with whom I have a lifelong relationship. Her name is Samyama, and she is my fellow messenger on GatherInsight.com that our readers can go take a look at. She has a wonderful book called The Kartikeya Yogic Method that has the teachings that she has compiled for in over 54 years of spiritual study. And our meeting was really miraculous and interesting. I was studying at this meditation center in North Georgia and was in the dining hall one day. And there was this beautiful woman that seemed to glide across the room that came towards me. And I had my tray in my hand. I was going to put the tray back in the kitchen. And on this particular day, we were observing silence. And her presence was so magnanimous as she came across the room that I actually stopped and I put down my tray and our eyes met and she gave me a huge hug, a big, big hug. And she whispered into my ear, "Oh, how precious." And I thought, what an amazing woman, you know, what a neat and beautiful woman. And I had no idea that she was a great teacher, a great yogini, and so I went about my business, you know, during this class that we were taking, and later that day, I stepped outside and I could see energy everywhere. I could see light. I could see all of these beings of light up in the sky, and I attributed all of this to the class that I was taking, which was a class on clairvoyance. And later I pieced it together and I realized that it was my encounter with her and her transmission of teachings to me on that particular day when our hearts touched that that caused this awakening to occur and happen. And a couple of months later, I saw a flyer for a 7-day, 7-night Vedic devotional chant. And down at the very bottom of the flyer, I saw her picture and I said, "Oh, you know, that's the lady from the dining hall." So I made up my mind to go to that 7-day, 7-night chant. I'd never chanted before in my entire life and didn't even really know what chanting was, but I knew that I had to be there, and I planned to go for one day. And I showed up, and we had an amazing connection. And later that night, on the first night that I was there, as I was sleeping, I had a dream. She came to me and traveled to me, It was almost as if she was physically standing there in a golden ball of light with gold. She was dressed in white and this golden ball of light all around her. And I knew that day that I had found my teacher. And I ended up staying for that 7-day, 7-night Vedic devotional chant. When I jump into something, I tend to do it all or nothing.
I know your teacher. She's one of the most golden, beautiful masters in the world. And, you know, it's been probably quite a journey for yourself to come into your own mastery. And you have your own students and your own ashram. And you must have worked your butt off plus several other things to get there. How has that journey been for you?
Oh, it's been wonderful. It's been the most difficult and yet the most rewarding thing that I've ever done. And Samyama told me, you know, that embarking on this journey was my path to mastery, that actually carrying out and building a mission on the physical plane was my path to self-mastery. And so she gave me a mission of opening a center here in Atlanta. I left my job in the corporate world to do that, and it was the best thing that I've ever done. And so I built this center here in Atlanta. I actually just turned it over to my one of my most senior students, Indira Bhagavati, who is here and actually running our programs in our center now, which is, for me, that's incredible and really wonderful. And Samyama and I are working now to teach together, working nationally to bring our teachings to the world and internationally, and working on publication projects. So it's very exciting to continue to grow and to move into a new era and to be teaching side by side with her is absolutely wonderful and a dream come true for me.
Well, I welcome you to come to Hot Springs and someday teach a class in my beloved dome, because I love both you and your teacher so much. Tell me, if there's a couple of tips you want to give to the people working on their light, working on their enlightenment or spirituality, what would those tips be?
A couple of tips for people working on their enlightenment and on their spirituality. The greatest tip that I would give to people would be to simply do your path, not to necessarily do the path being attached to enlightenment, but simply do the path with the intent to evolve and to put one foot forward day by day by day by day by day by day. And that with the awareness that all that one needs to see is that next step, not the entire path.
It's so amazing that one of the things I teach is less is more. And I will say something, you know, like breathe or sleep or eat or pay attention, and people want 144 steps on how am I going to pay attention. What should I be thinking about? What should I not be thinking about? And taking your path, doing it daily, doing whatever your practice is daily, is just such an escalator to the higher levels of your own experience. And if we remember that less is more, and do your thing every day, it'd be amazing how far we get, but you know, we're kind of human, and we want to have a squiggle and a wiggle and define the low path and define the high path and give me all the rules. There's so many ways to be in your own light, to be a light worker, to be enlightened, that sometimes giving you rules is more of a hindrance than a help.
I agree with that completely. And I remember one time in my own journey, I had hours and hours and hours of practices that I was doing, all kinds of different practices. I enjoyed them so much that I just kept adding them on. And then, you know, one day I woke up and I realized that I was doing all of these practices, and yes, I had learned a lot, and my life spiritually had become very, very complicated. And so what I, you know, advocate to my students and what I do for myself, you know, my own spiritual practice is very, very simple, and perhaps also, you know, to some might consider it very, very boring. But there are rituals that I do consistently every day persistently, very simple ones. Working with elements is one of them. Breathing is one of them. Simple meditation is another. And then beyond that, you know, practicing awareness in life moment to moment, one's life becomes a walking meditation. But I encourage my students to have very simple practices and not to take on too many. You know, during a retreat is fine, or when one's undergoing private tutoring or taking a course that's different. But day to day, having very simple practices that that support one, and rather than attempting to take on too much.
Well, you know, there's one thing about being a guru on the mountain, and there's another thing about walking down into the community where you can give downloads of light, where people step into your aura and you inspire them. And we could spend 16 hours a day. I could spend 16 hours a day sitting in my church and meditating and doing different practices. But the big piece about having your spiritual light and becoming more spiritual is to take it into the public. And I have lab, and I'll take my students into the mall. And, okay, we're having lab today. You're going to the mall. And they're like, ooh, mall. And I'm like, okay, let's see who needs healing. Let's observe how you do diagnostics. Let's observe if you can sit quiet next to the person, that old person on the bench, or if you're going to have to talk. Let's look at some things. And they're like, we don't want to go to the mall. And after they come back from the mall, and I've got this notepad full of observations, and they have these notepads full of observations of how they, what they did, didn't, what, how they behaved or didn't behave, and it's amazing. We can talk for, 2 hours about what was going on, and as spiritual as everybody is out there, and as enlightened as you're working on, remember the whole piece of it is to take it into your community, is to have a life that has spiritual energy in it, not to have spiritual energy that gives you a couple hours of light. So I'm not hearing our engineer butting in with any calls right now. So tell me, do you do private sessions, and when is your next workshop, and what is your website?
Yes, my website is munishwarji.com.
Could you spell that for us, please?
I sure will, absolutely. It's munishwarji.com. And I do private sessions. I do sessions via telephone. And one of the things that I'm offering in particular right now is we work extensively with spiritual astrology. And spiritual astrology is the are the esoteric aspects of astrological energies, and working with the planets in correspondence with the chakras, with our own energy centers. And right now I'm working with a lot of people and planning for the new year, and assisting people with the wonderful expansions that are happening right now. We have a very auspicious transit that's happening for the United States. The United States is, the sun sign of the United States is Cancer. Our birthday is July 4th, 1776, of course. And so Jupiter is transiting Cancer right now. Jupiter is the planet of expansion, and it will be in Cancer through next July. So this is a wonderful opportunity of expansion and spiritual growth for our country, in particular here, for people who reside here, and for people who have auspicious configurations with this particular astrological transit. So I do a lot
really
of that.
It's really amazing. It's really amazing. Everybody is whining and moaning and about the economy, and yet the stock market the other day hit the highest high it had ever had. And I hit 16,000, and you know, all this whining and complaining, if you take that all off and look how you feel how you feel and sense how you are right now, most of my people are pretty good. You know what I'm saying? Most of the people are pretty satisfied where they are with their life, and it's not so much the politics or the economy or the outside is infecting them as much as it used to. Do we have a call there?
Yes, we do. Hold on for 1 second. I'm going to bring Todd on.
Great.
Hey, Todd, you're on.
Hello. Good evening, good afternoon, and good morning around the world. Yeah, this is Todd. Yeah, actually, I had a chance to meet you in St. Augustine, and I'll tell you more about that later. But my question to you is, and this has been a concern with me with modern day religion. If we look back, thousands and thousands of years ago, it was really based on spirituality. And you look at modern religion today, and the politics that have infiltrated it, and what is that, you know, what does that mean with Catholicism and Judaism and a lot of the really, I guess, more popular religions? It seems to me that we've gotten away with spiritualism, even with, you know, Vatican II, where you can't say, you know, the Holy Ghost, and it's the Holy Spirit. What's your take on that, and do you feel that, you know, there's a way for us that we can kind of, even in our own faith, as being Catholics or Jews or Hindus or Muslims, to, you know, how do we get back to the real core of religion, which fundamentally is spirituality?
Mona, you want to handle that?
I would love to take this. This is a wonderful and interesting question. So, I think it's important to distinguish between a religion and between, you know, what we would call a spiritual path in the East. So a religion, it is said, you know, within our lineage of teachers, that a religion is for people who want to know about God. And a spiritual path is for people who want to experience that they are God. So they're two distinct things. And Samyama's teacher, my teacher's teacher, Mahavatar Babaji, says that people are like water. They find their own proper level. People are like water. They find their own proper level. So in other words, in my view, there is a place for all of these things. There's a place for religions, and there's a place for spiritual paths, and that they serve different objectives and goals and different niches in our society. They feed different needs that we have as human and spiritual beings. And so, you know, I think at some point there are many people, and society and our consciousness begins to evolve as a human race, I feel that more and more people will begin to seek out a spiritual path rather than merely religion. And in our particular spiritual path, we have people from all different religions. You know, I was raised as a Southern Baptist, and, you know, one of my closest partners in my work was Jewish, and Samyama was Catholic. And, you know, rather than actually abandoning those things, we have allowed the understanding of our spiritual path to deepen our understanding of them. So, in other words, the understanding now that, you know, that I have about Christ, and that Samyama has about Christ, and that even my, you know, my colleague Eleonora, who is Jewish, has about Christ, is, you know, is very different and expanded, you know, gone to that truth of what, you know, the religions teach about. So, from my perspective, I think there's a place for all of them. Because they serve a need that our society has, and that ultimately, as our consciousness grows, that it's my feeling that we'll move into a place of, more and more people seeking a deeper understanding through a spiritual path and coming to know that they are God, merely than learning about God.
And my take on it was a long, long time ago. I was in the Black Forest, and I asked this woman, what is the difference, this Druid woman, between white magic and black magic? And she looked down at me and she said, black magic is when you're against something and white magic is when you're for something. I said, but I'm against war. And she said, Star, think about it. You're really for peace. So everything can coexist. My flow agrees with the doctors, even though I'm a healer, and now I have 29 doctors that have studied underneath me. My spirituality, I have 60 people who have different religion background who come to my Sunday gathering. So really, the consciousness needs to be is how can we all get along? Now, what are we going to do about them? Do you get that, Todd?
I do, yeah, and it makes me think that there's a big pie chart, if you will, and we only have, you know, there's certain slivers that we may cut out that defines us, but there's this also another really empty part of that pie chart.
Think about the numbers. The Catholic Church counts everybody who was baptized. And, you know, 50 years later, 20 years later, you're not necessarily practicing Catholic. And the way the numbers look and the way the people think and be may not and usually not are accurate. So I want you to gather your energies, religious and spiritual energies together, and let them become a river of light. And whether it's religious or spiritual, let them flow together and understand that they all have their purpose here. So I don't think I want to do anything about it. I don't think I want to, you know, say anything more about religion and spirituality except to use the word, how can we all work at this out together, those words. So is it a personal question you want tonight, Todd?
No, it was more of a philosophical. It was really more of, I think personally for me, is how do we take individual paths with inside of our own religion. And I think that's what, you know, what I've kind of heard a little bit tonight is how do I become stronger spiritually, internally within myself, but also within my religion, which is okay, right?
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. So thank you so much, you guys. It's a fantastic
yes,
show.
Yes, thank you, Todd.
Yeah, God bless. Thanks.
God bless you. Thank you.
Okay, Mark, do we have someone else on the line now?
Yes, Catherine.
Hello, Star.
Good evening. How can I be of service, sweetie?
I'm wondering about the space between us, and I'm particularly thinking about my energy field, and recently I've been aware that I feel like it's sort of ragged or very porous around the edges, and I'm wondering how that's related to the elements and how to better understand that and work with that and find out whether that is something that is allowing me to connect to other people or
okay,
whether
Mooney,
it's a boundary issue.
Let Mooney handle that and then I'll add on.
Absolutely. And your name was Catherine, is that right? Did I get that correct?
Or Katerina. I'm working
Katerina.
On it, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh, good. Okay. Excellent. Well, yes, the elemental practices will be fantastic in making sure that your aura is filled with wonderful light and that you personally, when you walk into the world and you experience the energies of the world, that you're able to walk in them and not be at the effect of them. So, you know, what I would suggest for you is doing some simple breathing practices because our breath, when we visualize the breath and connect the breath with energy, the breath turns into prana, into life force energy, all right?
Okay.
So I'd like for you to, I'm going to give you a simple practice.
Okay.
And the practice is in the morning, every day you're going to take five breaths. Okay, into each of the first four chakras. So you're going to take five breaths, and you're going to breathe into the root, and you're going to think about Earth and connect with all the qualities of Earth.
Okay.
And then you're going to take five breaths, and you're going to breathe into the second chakra, into the spleen, and you're going to concentrate on water.
Okay.
And then five breaths into the solar plexus, concentrating on fire.
Okay.
And then five breaths into your heart, concentrating on the energies of air.
Okay.
And then after that, I'd like for you to just sit for and take five breaths, really letting go of your concentration and experiencing just the atmosphere around you and the atmosphere of this practice that you've created. And in doing that, you'll connect with the element ether.
Okay.
And I also have a suggestion. Every time one of my students has great resistance to something going on in their life, to something going on at work, their aura gets porous and they start disconnecting and they don't feel like they can get all the way through. I don't want you to answer this question verbally to me, but I want you to ask yourself, what am I resisting? Because a bunch, loads of energy and aura is burnt up when we resist something, when we don't want life to flow the way it's flowing, when we resist seeing a truth or feeling something true about ourselves. So ask yourself again in the next 3 days as many times and at all different moments, what am I resisting? Thank you, sweetie.
Thank you very much, both of you.
Yes, thank you.
How are we doing there, Mark?
Oh, we're just wrapping up. If you want to share each other's websites, and then I'll close out.
Okay. Can you tell me the name of your book and where I can buy it and your website, please?
Yes, my book is The Secret Garden, Journeys in the Sanctuary of the Heart. And it's published by Gather Insight. You can find it at gatherinsight.com. And my website, again, is Munishwarji, MunishWarji.com.
And you can also find several of my books at Gather Insight and over 600 free articles, puzzles, and fun things to do. Go to Gather Insight. Remember that as a spiritual seeker, that you need confirmation. You need confirmation on how you're being, what you're choosing in life. To do this, you need to ask a teacher, someone who's been there, someone who's gone through their own spiritual path. We have many teachers available. You shall ask and you shall receive. So confirm your path. Talk to a teacher. Get the physical, material plane guidance that we all need. Sometimes just talking to our guides, just thinking we are correct is perfect for us. And sometimes it's 1 degree off. And if we start out in L.A. and we're 1 degree off going to Miami, we'll end up in New York. So, thank you, Munishwarji Walking Tall, for being on my show tonight. And I'm sure we'll go to gatherinsight.com and look at your book. And I want to remind everybody.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.